Appears in the hoof at the bottom right, where it is presented almost like a Chinese ideogram, without connections, with just intervals. This will come up again and again, and when we're dealing with the sense of touch, won't it?
Yes.
That it is, sense of touch is the sense of, or rather the space of the resonant interval. Space between the gap is where the action is.
That's right. One can easily imagine that in the world of the blind, where he is so dependent upon touch, that the real moment of truth, as it were, lies between touching one thing and then the next, because there is no anticipation.
There is a strange thing, too, about touch. There is no upside down to touch. And there is no upside down in Eskimo art, and there's no upside down for the small child, who is, whether he is drawing or looking at a picture. Until he learns to read and write, there is no upside down.
As a matter of fact, in the caves, there is no upside down.
No, the amazing thing, anyway. The photograph, the medium of photography, has changed the nature of these pictures beyond all recognition, because they never appear on any flat surface. They never appear vertically. Many of them are hidden under ledges of rock, painted totally out of sight. The Eskimo can draw underneath the table just as readily as on top. It makes no difference whether he sees what he is doing.
It's a very intimately connected to the kinetic sense, and also his sense of touch. He is more by touch and connection, not by reading.
The child doesn't hesitate to go right over the edge of the paper in his drawing. It makes no difference to him.
So the business of putting all these images from the caves into books is to make a kind of art gallery out of them, which they never were.
Hell, the photograph has certainly changed our image of these cave paintings. I think once you understand that the flat image is not really non-visual, but it is very intensely tactile. This came back to us, of course, in recent times with Picasso and with the flat cubist images.
Well, the cubist images were called multi-locationalism, which simply meant that you put images on here of an object and you saw it, you looked at it from many positions.
Or you felt it.
Or you felt it.
Inside, outside of the same object.
Right.
The Captain Guernica painting of the castle was, of course, very close to the cave and all the other things you have in front of us. The music you're listening to, by the way, is related to this kind of space. And we're going to be using different sorts of music as we move through the different periods. This kind of music composed by Francois Best is a kind of two-dimensional music. It's flat, too, but acoustic space in which the tribal man or the hunter lives has many dimensions, almost 360 degrees. He lives in a resonating sphere, which he was the center and where the noises were just anywhere.
There is no line of melody.
No melodic line, no connection. In this kind of painting, there is no connection at all of anything with anything, because it is basically acoustic, resonance, and tactile. That's why there's no background needed for this sort of object. There's a poem from the Eskimo volume of Norfolk, translated by Edward Carpenter, which has many of the verbal effects that relate to the visual world of the painting, the cave painter. And it goes like, one of them goes like this: come and offer yourself in the dear early morning. Great sea sends me drifting, moves me, weed in a river am I. Great nature sends me drifting, moves me, moves my inward parts with joy. The lands around my dwelling are now beautiful, when it is given me to see faces I have never seen before. All is more beautiful, all is more beautiful. The feeling in the painting comes as if the person speaking were simply moving with the lines of force in nature itself. The prelific man had a kind of aesthetic infallibility by simply allowing himself to surf, as it were, on the form of nature, instead of categorizing, classifying, adopting a fixed point of view intelligence. He just allowed himself to sweep and swing along with
him. He did not feel any separation between himself and nature. Nature was not something he got back from
the book. It was
very much a part of him.
The songwriter has a phrase, when he wants to express total knowledge of something, he says, I know it like a snake swimming in water. And you have in these cave paintings and in the poetry of the other, and of course in the other forms of prelude poetry, you have the sense of just a snake swimming in water, undulating, easily and naturally, with the lines of force and the difficulty.